Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, yesterday, at least according to people who tweet about this stuff, was a good day for Carlos Correa, in so much as Corey Seager, who is widely viewed as the one free agent who's on the level of Carlos Correa in this offseason, he signed with the Rangers yesterday. Shortstop Corey Seager leaving the Dodgers to go to the Rangers. 10 years, $325 million. So Seth, Corey Seager gets the contract that seems to be kind of most often reported or mocked as this is what Carlos Correa is looking for. Like Lindor neighborhood money. The key number there, I think, more than the 325 being the 10, being the 10 years. Corey Seager, same age as Carlos Correa, 10 years, $325 million from the Rangers, who just one day before signed Marcus Semien, who's now presumably going to play second base for them with Seager at shortstop, to 7 years, $175 million. Seth, a week ago, you and I were looking at the shortstop market, kind of conceding that Correa was going to leave, saying, you know what? I would take the 31-year-old Semien on a 3 or 4 year deal. He got seven from the Rangers.
Yeah. That's what. So apparently, I don't. Maybe the Astros did offer Marcus Semien something like that. There are a couple of interesting things here that this dual signing by the Rangers means for both Carlos Correa and the Astros. One, from Carlos Correa's perspective, he's got to feel pretty good that the Rangers just took out two competing shortstops in the free agency market with one fell swoop.
A great, great thought, yes.
Yeah, you know, like, so Correa's sitting there thinking, I don't know, maybe the Yankees, maybe Detroit, they had an interest perhaps in Marcus Semien or Corey Seager. Then those are two options for them now that aren't on the table. I guess the other question is just, and this goes with the Astros, were the Rangers interested in Correa and Correa's price was too high, or was Corey Seager their first choice at shortstop?
Right.
He's not nearly as good defensively, but more durable. You can make some other arguments for Seager over Correa. But I'm that's what I haven't seen, is whether the Rangers even pursued Carlos Correa.
Well, I think the fair question is, did the Rangers offer Carlos Correa the same deal they offered Corey Seager? The exact same deal? If the deal were 10 years, $325 million, and you're the Rangers, who would you rather have, Carlos Correa or Corey Seager?
Seager doesn't have an option on this, and I wonder if the Rangers offered the same deal to Carlos Correa, Correa might be holding out for some more control in the matter, that he gets like an option after 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it might be. Yeah. But for the Rangers and Seager, this is, nope, you're ours for the next 10 years. We'll do with you what we want.
That's right. Yeah, he is locked into the Rangers. There's worse plights to have in life than being locked in 10 years, $325 million. So Seager goes to the Rangers.
He's in Dallas.
Semien goes to the Rangers.
They don't have cures for all those venereal diseases they have.
I didn't say it was the best.
Strains,
I said it could be worse. There is no state income tax up there as well, so it could be worse. So
Oklahoma.
So who is left then, Seth? Let's play this little process of elimination. What if you're Carlos Correa? The Rangers are now off the board. Clearly off the board. They've signed not one but two guys that could potentially play shortstop. Semien will probably play second base. Although Seager, down the road, I could see 5 years into this 10-year deal with Seager, he's playing third base for them. Who knows?
I wonder though with Seager, that was one of the things reportedly that was a chip on his shoulder, 'cause his whole time as a young player was when he was drafted, a lot of scouts predicted that he's a big guy, he'll end up playing third at some point. So, and obviously Simeon's, I was about to say Simeon's older than him, he's going to be done early, but he is on a 7-year deal.
Yeah.
I wonder if Seager, that might be some drama, hopefully, that does the Rangers in at some point.
So these are the teams, I'm scratching together this list here by hand, yeah. Seth. The teams that have been mentioned for Correa, like that I've seen on odds boards, let's say, for Correa that are still out there. Detroit has always been the favorite, the betting favorite at least, because of A.J. Hinch, and they're supposedly spending money. I guess the news with Detroit over the weekend that has a ripple effect with Correa is that they are talking to Javi Baez, who is one of the other shortstops. The other shortstops that are still on the market that are in that upper tier to tippy-top tier, Correa is still clearly the best still out there. Trevor Story and Javi Baez are two other shortstops that are still out there that presumably are going to go to one of these shortstop needy teams. I think they're both viewed as more cost-effective solutions than Carlos Correa. They're just not as good at baseball as him. So Detroit is talking to Javi Baez. Here's the list I have, Seth. The Yankees, are we feeling the Yankees still as a threat? Even though they're saying they're not in the shortstop market, they could come out of nowhere, could they not?
You know, the fact that Buster only said that the Yankees weren't pursuing Carlos Correa carries some weight with me, just because Only is not a guy that strikes me at all as who's just out there reporting everything he hears because he wants as many clicks as possible.
He's not a baseball lock hand for him.
Yeah. Right. Like, I know there are a lot of Astros fans that don't like Olney because they're convinced that Olney hates the Astros. And he's written some kind of snarky things about he still goes back to the sign-stealing scandal when talking about these current Astros a lot. I don't like that. But when it comes to actually breaking news, I believe that he was told that by somebody credible that they weren't pursuing Correa. But I do think that can change.
Yes.
I think maybe the Yankees, after having signed Gerrit Cole last year, might be trying to exercise some kind of fiscal responsibility and maybe letting the high-end guys go first and try to find the right bargain or the right deal. In a year where there are multiple shortstops available, or at least were.
Well, and they've got Aaron Judge's extension looming here in the near future, which is going to be a gigantic, gigantic contract. All right, so Detroit, Yankees, these are the other teams that I have written down here. The Seattle Mariners. Are we concerned about the Seattle Mariners opening up the checkbook for Carlos Correa?
I wouldn't be concerned right now.
Like the question is, do we think these teams will go 10 years on this guy?
Right. I don't think Seattle would.
Yeah, I don't either.
The other teams, the Blue Jays were 6-1 a week ago.
Yeah, I don't see the Blue Jays being the Blue Jays have spent some money this offseason as well so far, and they spent money on Springer last year, and they've already got Bo Bichette playing shortstop for them. So I don't think they're in the shortstop market.
The Mets have signed 17 of the top 15 free agents already.
they've got Francisco Lindor already at 10 years, 340.
Honestly, I'm reading this article in the Chronicle, and I don't understand these odds that they're giving for Correa. Because they put the Mets as one of the odds here.
I've got four other teams. Forget about what they're typing there. I've got four other teams that have been mentioned for Correa. Minnesota, the Dodgers, who now have a need. Well, they have a needed shortstop, but they can always slide Trey Turner back over there. St. Louis.
I've seen the Dodgers suggest that the Dodgers might be pursuing Freddie Freeman just to replace some of the offense.
Okay.
But not obviously not to put him at shortstop.
Right. St. Louis, Philadelphia, and then obviously the Astros are still there. I guess the bottom line is this, Seth, because these are all we can dig into all these teams here, but I think the bottom line is this. After seeing the way the market has played out, where Seager got the contract that Correa is presumably looking for, but some of the seats on this game of shortstop musical chairs could be taken up pretty soon by the Trevor Stories and the Javi Baezes of the world, do you feel better or worse now than you did a week ago that Carlos Correa might still be a Houston Astro next year?
I feel better as long as more time keeps elapsing. And the more radio silence there is too, I guess, without any leaks of what an actual offer is or a potential offer, then I'm more intrigued by this. Now, the biggest question is just, okay, how entrenched is he on the 10 years? And is there a 10-year offer on the table for Carlos Correa already, but just the average annual value that he wants? Is he going to – would he accept – because this is where it also might get interesting. The Astros made their 6-year offer. would they be open to giving him some kind of an option after 3 years? Would they be open to somehow making it for Correa, who could save some face if maybe the 10-year deal isn't out there? Maybe teams are just nervous about his injury history, and they want to give him a really good and healthy deal, but it's only going to be for 7 or 8 years. Better than the Astros, but still not a 10-year deal. Would Carlos then say, oh, I got a good thing going in Houston, and maybe that 6-year deal isn't as much of an insult if after 2 or 3 years I get a chance to test the market?
The current offer, just to make it clear, the current offer is actually 5 for $160 from the Astros.
Yeah.
So it's 5 years, $160. And I'm with you. I've always thought that if he comes back to the Astros and the Astros sort of meet in the middle on the overall years of the deal, not 10 years, but not 5, somewhere in the middle, I think you're right on target, that there would be some sort of opt-out to let him test free agency again at, say, age 30 and see what the market looks like.
I wonder if maybe he'll learn a lesson, too, from having watched Dallas Keuchel, who, remember, didn't have the offer he wanted in free agency and ended up sitting there till, when was it, August by the time Dallas Keuchel?
June.
Yep. Oh, it was June. There's a big difference between June and August. But it was June
before
he signed and didn't get what he wanted, obviously. At some point, I don't think it's going to be quite that drastic with Carlos Correa. He's going to get some really respectable offers. But if it's not the offer he wants, there has to be some kind of face-saving involved. And with him, I think it might be easier for him to say, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sticking around with Houston. But what they gave me was $32 million a year and with an option to become a free agent after 2 or 3 years. Nobody else was willing to go that far.
Yep.
Then the Astros, it doesn't look like he's settling. It looks like the Astros actually gave him something that nobody else was willing to give him.
And I think my guess is that's probably a deal that the Astros would be a little more amenable to, you know, not knowing what the future looks like. And Seth, I think there's two things at play with Correa here. I think there's the long-term thing that you just touched on, which is what are the offers that are out there? Is he getting that 10-year offer? Is he getting anything? Is he getting any smoke that's even close to that right now? We don't know. The reports, there have been some pretty well-sourced reports on almost everybody but Correa as far as what the chatter is right now. We've got reports of Javi Baez talking to teams. Some of these other guys have actually signed with teams. There are Trevor Story reports out there. The closest thing we have with Correa is he had lunch with A.J. Hinch. That's all we have so far. That's
the Boxwoods.
At Tiny Boxwoods, which made you chuckle many, many times. That's the long-term one. The short-term one is there's going to be a lockout tomorrow. At midnight tomorrow, there's going to be a lockout. So where does Carlos Correa stand on feeling the need to take a bird in the hand before we know what the financial landscape looks like in baseball? Or is he somebody who looks at it and says, I'm Carlos Correa, regardless of what it looks like, teams are going to prioritize me, whether the CBT, whether the luxury tax has gone down or up, or there's a spending minimum or there's no spending minimum. I'm Carlos Correa, damn it. There's going to be 10 years waiting for me out there, pre-lockout or post-lockout. I think that's the other thing that we don't know is how is Correa's camp viewing the work stoppage that seems to be a lock to happen tomorrow at midnight.
Somebody has said that these 10-year deals never work out for teams. That's an exaggeration. I think they do. I think the thing that you have to wonder is, do most teams go in knowing full well that, yeah, years 8, 9, and 10 might be busts on this contract?
Right.
I think they do. And I think a lot of it is a little bit of they do the calculations. In baseball, they're much smarter than they are in other sports about saying how much, and I guess maybe by necessity, because you don't have sellout baseball games every day of the week.
Yep.
Unless you're, you know, one of the real marquee teams. They do the calculations like, okay, how many butts does this guy put in the seats on average? And over the course of 81 home games every single year for those first 6 or 7 years of the contract, is it worth what we get on the back end? It used to make more sense before there was the competitive balance tax. Now you got to start worrying about, okay, 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now, it makes it harder to operate. It's not just the cash we're spending. But, I mean, like A-Rod's 10-year deal, did that make sense? It was 10 years, $252 million back in 2001.
Well, ultimately for the Rangers it didn't, but for the Yankees it did.
It ended up being a contract that made sense, right?
Yeah.
Like he paid that. Joey Votto, 10 years, $225 million back in 2022.
2020.
So for the most part, what's that?
You said back in 2022. Did you mean like
back in 2012?
Okay,
sorry.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's okay.
I'd say for the most part, for most of that contract, yeah. Joey Votto is worth it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think most of the teams, Seth, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think most of the teams that sign 10-year deals, sign guys to 10-year deals, do it knowing that the last two or three years are like credit card payments. You know, it's just, yeah. We got to make these payments.
Pujols was the one.
That was brutal.
Pujols didn't make sense as a three-year deal.
No.
Like, Pujols, that was brutal. Pujols was bad almost immediately.
That was brutal.
Can you imagine signing something for 10 years and then he immediately turns into a lemon?
It's a lemon.
Incredible.
Yeah, crazy. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So be listening in the next couple minutes here. We're going to be giving away tickets to the Texans and the Colts. We're talking about Carlos Correa and his chances of coming back to the Astros. I guess the other big deal, Seth, that we should touch on here, Max Scherzer is off the board. A lot of pitching went off the board the last 24 hours. Scherzer to the Mets, 3 years, $130 million. So Scherzer is getting $43 million a year from the Mets on a three-year deal. Robbie Ray, Cy Young winner in the AL, goes to the Mariners, so the Astros will see him a handful of times this year. 5 years, $115 million. Kevin Gausman from the Giants goes to the Blue Jays. 5 years, $110 million. So Scherzer's the big one off the board. $43 million for Scherzer. I'm feeling good about Verlander at 25 right now.
Do you read anything into all this, by the way, the fact that all of a sudden there's a flurry of activity in some pretty damn reasonably exorbitant contracts compared to a couple years ago when everybody was pissed because nobody was getting paid and nobody knew what the hell was going on? It makes me feel optimistic that there's going to be labor peace at some point.
Yes.
Like, I don't think teams would be spending this liberally if they felt like we were on the verge of an extended lockout.
Right.
I'm sure there will be some kind of a lockout for a little spell, but the two sides must be a lot closer than maybe sometimes it's reported.
Yeah, I would think so. I might need to dig a little deeper into exactly which teams are doing the spending and where they're at and what their ownership is like. But, yeah, you're right. The fact that the Mariners are spending $115 million on a starting pitcher, you're right, and the Blue Jays are piling more money. Brimer and Buxton just did an extension with the Twins for $100 million. I think you may be onto something there. I think that might be accurate. Starling Marte, Seth, all these contracts, you're right. You and I were like, hey, Starling Marte for 3 years, you know, 3 years, $15 million a year, you know, 3 years, $45 million. I'd do that if I were the Astros. Nope, in come the Mets, 4 years, $78 million. Oh, okay, all right then.
There's Stephen Cohen up in New York, the owner of the Mets. I got a bit of feel of like a Prokhorov feel from the Nets back
very
in the
much
day,
so.
Where you get as this billionaire that's new to the game and just flat out wants to buy his way to glory. Which in baseball, baseball of all the major professional sports is the one where buying your way to glory is actually makes the most sense. The guys are much more plug and play in that sport than anywhere else.
Are you nervous about the Rangers at all with them putting this super infield together with these two guys? I mean, I still think the Rangers are going to win 79 games next year.
Are they 1 year ahead of schedule? Does this put them 1 year ahead of schedule from where you thought they were going to be?
Well, I mean,
what was the over under on them going into this year?
I don't know. Wins?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the high 60s or low 70s, I would say, if I had to guess.
I'm keeping an eye on them. They're a burgeoning storm in the Atlantic, Sean. Yeah. This is like when you see those, when you look at the radar and you see those storms coming over from Africa midway through the Atlantic. And you're like, is it going to become a hurricane or is it just going to drift off northward and die like one of Dexter's victims?
Right. You look at it like, and you're like, oh, Harvey, that's the name of a nerd. That nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen.
Dumbest name
with that.
Ever.
Yeah.
Nothing. Harvey snuck in.
Oh, boy, did he ever. And he stayed a while.
Told us he was going to San Antonio.
It's stupid. Liar.
Bastard. Big remember? Liar. I remember sitting in this studio and being like, oh boy, I feel bad for the people in San Antonio. I'm just going to take a leisurely drive home. I'm sure I'll be back tomorrow. Yeah.
Nope.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.